Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing praise to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That scripture that we just heard and read, that scripture is a powerful reminder of how much God loves us. It's a powerful picture of how God cares for the details of our lives. And because God is so completely in love with us, and because God cares for us even in the smallest details of our lives, we have so many reasons to say thank you. That psalm was written for the Israelites during the time of King David. They're also words for us. God's word is timeless. God's word doesn't change. And we read in the Bible over and over again of God's intentional involvement in the events that happened hundreds of years ago. We also can learn how God is purposely involved in all of history and in the events that are presently unfolding throughout the world today. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14 says this, and I quote, "When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider, God has made one as well as the other," unquote. I struggle with that verse. I don't like the second part of the verse. But that verse has to reassure me, and as I wrestle with it, I'm reassured through God's word in the Bible that whether times are good or times are bad, God is in charge, and God is in control. And as I wrestle with that verse, I can be reassured that whether times are good or times are bad, I can indeed put my faith in God. We who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior are numbered among the people of God. The people of God down through the ages, we are numbered among them. We are among the faithful, the believers whom God has gathered and heals and sustains, and God is pleased with us as we obediently hope in God's unfailing love. Our trusting hope in God's love for us, that's the basis of our faith in Jesus. That basis of our faith in Jesus is what holds us, whether times are good or times are bad, because we can trust God to be in control. We can put our faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, gives us the definition of faith, and some of you know this verse. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the verses following verse 1, you will read where the writer of the Hebrews goes on to encourage us in our faith by bringing back to our minds some of the biblical people who lived by faith. There's a pile of people listed there. They followed God because they deliberately chose to trust God day by day, no matter if times were good or times were bad. And in the midst of their day-to-day choosing to trust God, they lived with the joyful assurance of hope in the promises of God. That's true for us too. There is no such thing as hope and faith in God without obedience to God. I've learned, and maybe you have learned, that obedience always involves some sort of suffering, or at least patience. And as Christ followers, as we learn to obey God, we learn to place our hope and our faith in God's word and in God's presence. Even Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 is speaking of Jesus when it says this, and I quote, "Although he was a son," this is Jesus, "he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." Unquote. So as followers of Jesus, we begin to trust God with our salvation, and we continue to live out our salvation by faith in Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit is what gives Christ followers the courage and the conviction to stay faithful and obedient to God in the midst of our suffering. So if you've decided to be a Christ follower, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you have invited Jesus into your heart to be your Lord, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit will give you the courage and the conviction to stay faithful, to stay obedient to God in the midst of whatever suffering or confusion or temptation you may encounter. Whether times are good or times are bad, you can trust that God has made one of as well as the other, and God is in control. The Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus had to choose to stay faithful and obedient to God when he was faced with the excruciating suffering of the crucifixion. While prayerfully none of us will ever have to face a crucifixion, we can stand on the promise that the Holy Spirit is what gives us the courage and the conviction to be faithful and to be obedient to God no matter what we face. Now, I've found within the church that there are often assumptions that are made about what it is that we believe as Christ followers, but we don't always spell out what those beliefs are. So I'm going to take some time and specify some of what it is that we believe as Christ followers. Number one, we believe that God loves us before he ever leads us to have faith in him. We believe that God loves us before he gives us, by his grace, the gift of being able to believe in him. There's an old hymn that you may remember, and the words go like this: "How can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood?" What I found is that to even have an interest in Jesus is a gift that God bestows on an individual by God's grace. That's number one. Number two, we believe that we are all made in God's image and God loves all of us. Even the kids knew that. Number three, we believe that we become children of God only through our faith in Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, and I quote, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God," unquote. Number four, we believe that we become children of God as we learn to live with the joy and the courage of trusting in Jesus. We have faith that God provides us with his presence. And God's presence, that's all we need in order to live a Christ-filled life. Number five, we believe that as people who are reborn through our faith in Jesus, we're given new life, a new start with God that begins right now and continues on into eternity in heaven. Number six, we believe that God gives us joy and courage and faith to obey so that we know that He is God. God not only wants us to know that He is here with us in our midst, He's with us now. He's not watching from a distance. He is here with us right now. And number seven, we believe that when we put our faith in Jesus, God clothes us with Christ's righteousness. It's a righteousness that's not our own. It's Christ's righteousness. As Christ followers, as the church, the body of Christ, our relationship with God grows as we learn to make His kingdom our first priority. Living by faith in Jesus is the only way for us to put His kingdom first in our lives. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Jesus teaches us that everything that we have is a gift from God. We receive the gifts of God freely and by His grace. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. A gift from God is to be able to believe in Jesus. A gift from God is to be able to put your faith in Jesus. A gift from God is when God leads you to ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. A gift from God is to be able to have the faith to ask Jesus to lead you on certain occasions. A gift from God is to have the faith to ask Jesus to lead you in all your decisions. A gift from God is to have the faith to ask Jesus to lead you in your words and your actions and even in your intentions. A gift from God is to have the faith to put your Lord first, whether you're at home or at work or at the grocery store or at school or wherever you are. A gift from God is to make the decision to put God first in your life and then to back up that daily decision with action. In fact, your ability to make the decision is a gift from God. A gift from God is to be brought to church by friends or grandparents or parents. A gift from God is to be willing to come to church by yourself. A gift from God is the ability to think for yourself and not fall into the trap of groupthink. A gift from God is the courage to overcome your doubts and your fears as you accept the Bible's promises as God's promises to you. And a gift of God is to own and take for yourself the Bible as God's truth for you. The Bible is God's word of truth for you. Not many people are willing to do that. Those are gifts from God, given by God's grace. Now, that word grace gets thrown about a lot in churches, but that word grace means that God gives us all these things for free. We don't have to deserve them. They're free for the asking. We don't have to work for them. All we have to do is ask. If you want any of these gifts from God, be sure to ask God for them. Belief in Jesus is a gift from God. Be sure to ask God for this gift of faith in Jesus. I've heard people say, "I just can't bring myself to believe in Jesus." Well, no one can bring themselves to believe in Jesus. It's the Spirit of God who brings a person to faith in Jesus. If anyone asks God for faith to believe in Jesus, God will give them that faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you knock on God's door, you can expect God to open the door of heaven just for you. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, and I quote, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Unquote. When we ask God for these gifts, that's called prayer. As Christ followers, as the body of Christ, it's important for us to be sure and pray and ask God for whatever we want. If you know someone who does not believe in God, pray for them. We can make ourselves available to be used by God to help people to come to faith in Christ. All we have to do is ask. Faith comes from God. Our faith comes from God. Salvation from beginning to end is the work of God. Communion is a gift from God. It's a means by which God bestows his grace on us. Communion is when we gather together as the people of God around the table of God, ready to remember the terrible suffering that Jesus went through for us. Suffering that proves God's love for each of us. In our church, we have an open table. And that means that everyone who is interested in receiving God's grace through the person and salvation of Jesus Christ is welcome. You don't have to be a member of this congregation to receive the sacrament of communion. You don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to achieve a certain level of knowledge or give a certain amount of money. Everyone is welcome. We have gluten-free bread. We use grape juice because children are welcome to participate. The ushers bring the bread and the juice to you because it's difficult for some people to come up to the front. I heard someone say one time, "Oh, I can't take communion, I don't understand it." Well, none of us really know or understand everything there is to know about communion, or about the Bible, or about Jesus, or about faith, or about God's amazing love and grace. Jesus offers it freely to us. We don't have to understand it. All we have to do is decide if we will accept it. Last week we sang the song, "Jesus Loves Me," with the kids. That song isn't just for kids. Jesus loves you, and the Bible says so. The question each of us have to decide is, will we accept Jesus and his love for ourselves? Glory to God. Amen. This time, please give your attention to the Covenant Choir.